Good morning again. How are we? I'm good. I even have my notes this week, so I know what I'm talking about. So it's like, wow, okay, cool. One of the first things I want to do is quick review. Oh, this is Advent season, so we have Advent candles here. And 2 weeks ago, we lit the first candle, which was hope. Candle of hope, or prophecies about. Last week I talked about peace. Peace, or the Bethlehem candle, and what that means. If the fire will go out here and I don't burn the altar up. And today is the third Sunday, and that is the joy candle, or the shepherd's candle. It's my favorite one because it's pink, and I'll get into that a little bit later. It's the candle of joy to remind us that in this Christmas season, we may be hoping for a miracle, or even in the midst of battle that's going on in our lives, we should know how to have joy. David pretty well capped it up in Psalms 51:12. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So what's David asking for? He's asking for God to restore the joy of salvation, that to take it from his heart, from his heart, and put it in the rest of his whole body, make it a part of what he's doing. And it's important that we realize that it's joy, not happiness. Happiness is different from joy. Happiness is fickle. It'll change in a heartbeat. It'll do all kinds of weird things. It'll lie to you. It does all kinds of stuff like that. While happiness is joy and is determined by circumstances. If things are going well, then that's good. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and it's an emotion of the soul. So whether your life is good, bad, difficult, pretty, ugly, joy remains the same. It's there. It brings joy into your heart. And there's maybe sometimes you don't feel like it's there. But joy is an outward expression, and joy has the ability to knock down fear and depression. You get that joy going in your heart, and that's what we've sang about joy today, replacing joy and having joy. So how do we bring up joy from the inside of us? David said it pretty well in Psalms 51. David was asking God to bring it up into his heart, and it's what he was doing. But David was not asking for anything new. He said, restore. You can't restore a car unless you have a car to restore. And so what he's saying is, restore the joy to me again, the joy that I've already experienced. You know, the scripture says that if God is for us, who can be against us? It's that same way with joy. We have the spirit of joy that fills our hearts. Joy gives us not only the ability to approach the throne of God boldly, as some people like to say, approach that throne of God boldly, but it also gives us the ability to not only approach the throne, but to hear what God's plans are, because God has plans for us. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and you can't be filled with the Spirit unless you have joy. We have that ability that's within us. When trials come, if we don't remain in that spirit of joy, we have a tendency to become critical and judgmental. We can get in a state where we concentrate on everything that's going wrong. Because like Kay said, you know, this has been a year from that dark place. Being with it, we've lost a lot of family members and stuff like that. And so if we choose to dwell on that, then we can become critical and judgmental in our lives. Bless you. But joy has that force within that can drive those things out. And if you are walking filled with joy, you can affect other people's lives around you. You can affect their lives. If they're in the pit, joy can help them see what's going there. And joy can help you keep your commitment to God in your life. And so we must find joy in the things of heaven and not the things of the earth. Because again, things of heaven are eternal. Things of the earth are not. You don't take anything into heaven except the people around you. I've said it lots of times, that there are no U-Hauls on hearse. They don't go there. So we have that power. But we have to recognize it in our lives and go on from there. And God has an open channel for helping us and communicating with. God wants that relationship. We talked about that a bit last week. We were put on this earth for a relationship. Adam and Eve were in the garden with God. They had the goodest relationship as you can possibly get. And they gave it away. But we must find the joy in the things of heaven and in the Holy Spirit. How much of our life is affected by the things around us? Now, I want to read some scripture here. These are scriptures about Silas and Paul. Silas and Paul were missionaries. They were out doing the work of the Lord. And they kind of made some people angry, which is what sometimes happens when you introduce people to the true God. And in Acts 16, 25 through 34, it's a long scripture, so I'm going to try and slow down because I tend to get going too fast. But anyway, they had been arrested, they'd been beaten, and they'd been put in stocks. Do you know what stocks are? They're those round things you put your arms and legs through and hold you so you can't get out. And they really work. When I lived in D.C. back in 1980, we went to Colonial Williamsburg, and they had stocks sitting out there. And you could get in them. And so we have pictures of putting yourself in the stocks and then somebody take your picture and hope they let you out. And you really have a hard time. So here they are. They're in prison. They're locked in the stocks. And in 25 it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, in prison, in stocks. What are they doing? Are they complaining? No. They're praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. In those days, if you were the jailer and the prisoners got away, you got their punishment if you lost the prisoner. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for a light, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all of the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with what? Joy. Because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. You receive joy when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. You get joy. It's always in there. But it's up to us what we do to it. Paul and Silas didn't complain. They were singing and praying. How many of us would do that? I had a friend that ended up in jail. He wasn't singing and praying. He was praying, but he wasn't singing. And singing is a good thing to do. Even though, you know, we may never feel the sting of a whipping on your back like they did, because some of us did get a whipping when we were little. But sometimes the sting of people's words is much more powerful. They can say things that can cut you to the core. And so one of the things that we are called upon to do is to sing to the Lord a new song. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? Yeah, I think we have it, actually. So we sing to the Lord a new song. And one of the things I thought about back in the 90s when I was studying and I was commuting to California once or twice a month, one of the things I would do is I would get, well, my truck had cassettes, so we put a cassette in there and just sing like crazy while driving across the desert. Nevada desert is so pretty. Not... So monotonous. It's like, oh, there's that cactus. Oh, what am I going to see in the next 10 miles? Oh, yeah, there's a shrub down the road. But I'd put the things on and I would just sing like crazy. I had a Kadosh song, and they were a lot of fun. And so I'd put that on there and break forth in joy, just singing like crazy. And how many of you have ever found that when you sing and break forth and just start singing, it changes your attitude and brings it up and makes it better and stronger? And things don't seem to be quite as bad as they were before, as you thought they were before. Singing does a lot for us. And that's why people love the songs in church. They love to sing in church. There are churches that don't sing. In fact, there's a song. What's the name of it? No, I just blacked it out. It's about not singing. Don't make the song so much about it. And they went for a whole month without singing. And then they started singing again, and they really missed the singing part of it. But they sing like crazy. And Romans 14:7 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." What does it mean to be in joy in the Holy Spirit? It means that we enjoy His presence. We enjoy how He moves. We enjoy what He does and how He acts. We enjoy those things. And the thing is, God wants us to enjoy Him. That's why, like I said, again in the garden, He made Adam and Eve, put them in there to be with Him, to be in His presence, and for them to enjoy Him and for Him to enjoy them. So He wants to relate to us. That's why He gave us the fruit of the Spirit of joy as part of the kingdom of God. If He didn't want us to have it, He wouldn't have given it to us. And so, but He did. And sometimes we get too serious about things, and we start thinking too much and too hard. And that's when we need to set things aside and relax and feel the joy of the Lord and get in the spirit of the holy thing. We have to have that balance. And laughter. God gave us the spirit of laughter, which is very calming in a way. And sometimes laughter is just something that gets you through it. Sometimes it's just funny. Last night, Kay and Karina and I were down here. We were going through some things on the computer, putting them in different folders and files. And they were straightening up my mess in the computer, in other words. And one of the things they came to, one of a talk or something that I had given, and it talked about how God, the angels, had warned Joseph to take Mary and Jesus to Mexico because Herod wanted to kiss Jesus. Well, it was supposed to be kill. You know, but I had him kissing him, and so kissing Jesus. And another time when we had overhead projectors, most of you don't know, how many of you know what an overhead projector is? Oh, quite a few, okay. Well, we had one of those. That's how we used to put our music on the wall, and it was Easter time, and we were singing a song, and I'd made the slides, and it goes, "Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?" It was like, that's supposed to be nailed him to the tree. So we had a good laugh over that. And laughter really changes things. And the Spirit works through laughter. When I was, again, in MTS, one of the meetings we had, we were supposed to go back in and have another service. And we were at a Catholic retreat. And we had to be out of there at a certain time because the nuns had to get ready for the next day's service. And so we were out here, and all of a sudden, the spirit of laughter got a hold of some people. And they were laughing and carrying on. And I came from a background that you didn't do that in church. And so it's like, I'm going, "Will you just shut up so we can go in?" I was irritated by it. Well, the time passed for us to go in because it was too late. So we all, you know, we had a quick prayer right there in the gathering area on the lawn and went to bed for the night. And it wasn't until a year later I went down, I learned what really took place during that experience and the laughter that changed people's life and brought joy up into their lives again because they'd been in a bad situation. And it works. I remember sitting at my dad's funeral, and it was time to close the coffin. And they bring you up and you say your last goodbyes. And they're putting the lid down. And Mom, she nudges me and she goes, my mom and them bought theirs ahead of time to plan. When we were buying the caskets, they asked your dad if he wanted a lock-in casket. He said, no, I'm not going to try and get out. And so here we are. We're sitting there on the front row laughing. And people are, you know, all teary-eyed because they're closing their casket, which is normal. And we're laughing because Dad was joking about it. And she says, he said, here, you sell the coffin to her and bury me in the box it comes in. Dad had a good sense of humor about that, but it took away some of the tension that would normally be there. And so a lot of things take place. A lot of times, though, part of the reason I like this candle is because it's pink. And the pink in the candle, a lot of times in Scripture, you can go and you can look at and find people who are marginalized, that don't fit into the society. And the next Scripture I'm going to read is Luke 2, 8 through 20. Again, it's a pretty long Scripture, but it shows how God works. And it's about the shepherds. That's why it's also called the shepherd candle. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So they were living in the fields. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, the reason I like this and to talk about this is because, like I said, it's marginalized people. Shepherds were marginalized to the max. They were the shepherds in Bethlehem. And some of the things that I've read about that, they think that in Jerusalem, when they came to make offerings, they had to have a perfect sheep. If you didn't have one, you could buy one. And they think that these shepherds were taking care of the sheep that were good enough to be sacrificed in the temple. They were good enough for that, and they were taking care of those sheep, but they were not welcome at the temple themselves because they were unclean. Now, that doesn't mean that they were sinners. That meant that they were unclean because they could not do all the ceremonial things that needed to be done to be considered clean. There were washing that we had to do. And they would take little things of water and pour them over your hands, and they would run off the fingers and down this way. And they would do certain things that way. And that would make you clean. Well, living out in the field, you couldn't do all that stuff. And so you were just dirty from your job. And so you couldn't keep the ceremonial process that had to be kept in order to be considered clean. And they couldn't do it. And so they were ceremonially unclean. But interestingly, when Jesus came into the world, who did the angels announce his birth to? The shepherds who were not fit to go into the temple. Those who were considered marginalized by society. They were not able to go in there because other people judged them unclean, but they were good enough for the angels. And they came and they sang and they told them about the birth of the Savior. And what did they do? They said, hey, let's go take a look. Do you know how dangerous that was? Here, let's leave these sheep on the hillside and let's go look. And they did. And they rejoiced. And they went and told others. Do you know what we did last night? We left the sheep on the hillside and we went to Bethlehem. We found the Messiah. And they told it in such a way that people believed him and rejoiced with them. They went into the world. The next scripture is from Matthew 9, 20 through 22. And it's again about somebody who was marginalized. It's a woman who has the issue of blood. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch the cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. The word cloak, the edge of the cloak, is talith, T-A-L-I-T-H, means fringe. And it was little tassels that hung down on the garment. It wasn't the actual garment itself. It's like you've seen those scarves you put around your neck and they come down, they stop, and then they have the strings that just hang down. Well, it was those parts like that that hang down. And that's what she touched. But the significance of, she was marginalized again because it said she had an issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 years she had been bleeding. In that culture, if you were bleeding, you again were unclean. You were not allowed to touch people. You were not allowed to touch anything that somebody might touch. So if somebody came in here who had an issue of blood and they set one of those chairs and you sat in it, you became unclean also. Because that's what was originally done. I mean, normally, you know, women will have a bleeding time, but it's just short. But this lady, she had one for 12 years. She couldn't be in the same room a lot of times because if she touched somebody, she couldn't go out in public because if she did, she might brush against somebody. Or if she brushed against a food table, it would all become unclean. And just expand. And here she is. She's had this bleeding for 12 years that doctors couldn't fix. And so she hears about Jesus and she says, hey, if I go and I just touch that cloth, the edge, those tassels on his shawl, I will be healed. And he won't even know it. I mean, if somebody goes by you and they brush the edge of your coat, a lot of times you don't even feel it. But what happened is she touched it. And Jesus, in other translations, said, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And what did the disciples do? They said, Jesus, who didn't touch you? The crowds are pushing in. How can you tell? Because he had power that went out from him because she was healed and she felt that she was. But she pushed her way through the crowd. That tells us she pushed her way through the crowd to get up close enough to touch the tassels. And she did, and he felt power go out and she was healed. Now, one of the sources when I was studying this said that those tassels on there should not be touched by anybody but the person wearing them, the person's wife or son or daughter. They were the only ones that are supposed to touch those tassels. She comes out, she touches the tassels. What does he do? He turns around and he says to her, wait a minute, who touched my cloak? Take heart, daughter. He just brought her into the family to take away her shame. She was healed. Take heart, daughter. It's okay you touched my tassels. You're part of my family. You're included in me. So that's why I like the pink candle. Because it's the candle of marginalized. The people that are pushed outside. Now, some of us who are gay and lesbian, we know what that means. We grew up. Back in 1978, when I came out, you didn't want to come out, but I did. Because the Holy Spirit told me I was fine, that I knew who I was, And I said, but people aren't going to like it. And the Holy Spirit said, their problem, not yours. And I went, okay. Okay. And I went to work the next day and people said, okay. One of my friends said, you had a billboard around your neck. And it was like, really? Don't remember putting it there. But that's why I like it, because it's that message of the marginalized. Because I was told, you can't have a relationship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit because of who you are. And I fell for it as long as I was in my little cocoon trying to hide. But when I came out, it was gone. And it was like, y'all lied. Y'all lied to me. And this little pink candle reminds us that we don't have to lie. And that's the thing that's really exciting about this time, is that people aren't lying anymore. People aren't lying anymore. I was down at the gender revolution. We talked to a young man down there. He started transitioning at 14, and he was now 18. That's what I love about it. We come from the background. We know what it means to be marginalized. We know. And that's our message to the community. It doesn't matter. There's still churches out there that are kind of strange, huh, Kelsey? Kelsey went to a church last weekend, walked up and introduced herself. Go ahead, tell them.
I was down at South Mountain Community Church, and when the pastor was done, he walked out in front of the lobby, and I went and I introduced myself, and I asked him, or I told him that I really enjoyed his sermon, and I introduced myself and told him I normally don't come here. And he looked at me, and usually a pastor like Pastor D will come up and he'll introduce himself, he'll ask your name and try to make you welcome. But all this pastor did was ask me a really strange question. It was, what can I help you with? And I said, nothing, I'm fine. And instead of being very congenial, I said, well, thank you, and I turned around. So not all churches and pastors are super friendly like ours.
It's still around. But that candle says, don't let it get you down. That's the candle of joy. Have joy in your heart. And when you do, you know what? It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't. My boss pulled me in her office and she said, you know, you're a social outcast. I said, you know what? It's your problem, not mine. Changed her attitude. The vice president of the hospital wanted me fired, and she said, no, I won't fire him. Otherwise, I'd have been out on my ear. But it still happens. Still happens. But that reminds us that it doesn't happen with God. It doesn't happen with God. God created us for a purpose. In Luke 10:21, it says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus received joy through the Holy Spirit, just like we do. Through the Holy Spirit said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. You have revealed them to little children. What happens when you reveal things to children? Depending on their age, they may understand it. Now, little Logan was here in the back with Lily a little bit ago. How old is Logan? 2.5? 2.5. Didn't understand a word I was saying. He can't. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You reveal things to people who really shouldn't be able to understand this. But through joy in the Holy Spirit, it's revealed. Because you revealed them to them. How cool. Pink candle, the candle of joy. I used to wear pink scrubs at the hospital. And doctors would say, you're the only one that can get away with that. And I'd say, I know. I know. And it's okay. So that's what we're talking about today, joy. Look at your life. Is there a dark spot? Fill it with joy. Is there a pain? Turn it to joy. Sing a new song. And you know what? When I'm down here sometimes by myself, I sing like crazy because they don't let me do it. On the other hand, because I don't sing that good. I'm a prison singer. I'm always behind bars and never have the right key. Yeah, so.
That's not true.
Shh. Now, one thing I want you to do, close your eyes for a minute. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit again, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message today? What am I supposed to learn? And how am I supposed to bring that joy into my life? Okay, how many of you got an answer? My answer was trust me more. I was having a really hard time with this message. We were down here last night. We left. I got home at 7:30, 7:45. I didn't have anything written down, nothing. I was like, Lord, gonna have to be up to you. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you that in those times of need, in those times of despair, when things seem like they're just rock bottom, that you're always there. And that like the shepherds and the woman with the issue of blood and other people in the Bible who you spoke to who seemed to be the least important are the ones that you spoke with and worked with the most. And even in their broken times, Lord, when they were down, you lifted them up with just a word or a touch of love. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for lifting us up and strengthening us in our walk with you. And Lord, as we go out of here, may we be the beacons of light that we want to be, that you want us to be, that reach out and bring joy into other people's lives, because people like to be around joyful people. So thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.